Welcome to Making Waves.
Welcome to Making Waves.
Fresh ideas and freshwater science.
Fresh ideas and freshwater science and why they matter to you.
Making Waves.
Making Waves is brought to you.
Making Waves is brought to you with support from the Society for Freshwater Science.
Hi, my name is Aline Ortega Peak, and I'll be the host for this episode of the Making Waves podcast, brought to you by the Society of Freshwater Science. I recently joined the SFS Initiatives in Spanish, which is one of the projects of the JEDI Task Force. One of the main goals of our group is to make SFS more inviting to Spanish-speaking students and scientists both in the US and internationally. To accomplish this goal, one strategy is to produce Making Waves in both English and Spanish. So today, I'm really happy to be hosting the first Making Waves bilingual episode. And what better way of starting than by interviewing SFS President Dr. Alonso Ramírez. When Alonso became president of SFS in 2019, he acknowledged that SFS needed to continue working on becoming a more inclusive society. Little did he know that 1 year into his presidency, racism and social justice in the US would be in the country's spotlight. To me, Alonso's presidency is timely and a sign of SFS's true interest in becoming more diverse in times that are demanding that change. Alonso, welcome. We're very happy to have you here today.
Thank you. Thanks for the invitation. It's an honor to be part of this first podcast.
Thank you. Well, to start our interview, I would like to ask you if you could tell us a little bit about you, and if there was something in particular that drew your interest to become a freshwater ecologist, and if there was a mentor or an opportunity in particular that defined that your career path.
Sure. Let's start with now. I'm currently professor at North Carolina State University in the Department of Applied Ecology. My lab is working in tropical stream ecology in forests and also in urban environments. And those are basically the two main lines of research that my lab has. And then in terms of teaching, I'm teaching general ecology, which is a very large class. We have like 180 students and it's an introductory class. And then I also teach a really small tropical ecology class that is focused on, let's say, the major contributions that research in the tropics has made towards advancing ecology as a science. I guess if we go back in history, I started as an undergrad in Costa Rica studying taxonomy and dragonflies. They are still my favorite group. So I started in biology, studying the taxonomy of dragonflies. But I always enjoy thinking or looking at the role of insects in their ecosystem. So that made an easy transition into ecology. So I started basically with the names, with the taxonomy, and soon I was looking at what insects were doing. So I basically moved into ecology. And there's always people that play an important role in your career. For me, in Costa Rica was Carlos Esquivel, who was a professor at Universidad Nacional. And he was the one that opened the door of his lab for me to start playing with dragonflies. So he was the one that made it possible for me to start working with aquatic insects in general. I also was lucky enough to get in contact with Rodolfo Novello from Mexico, and he's a dragonfly taxonomist and a really good friend of mine now. And he was my mentor during those years. So he's the person that made it possible for me to learn taxonomy, and he was always very supportive. And then I ran into Carlos de la Rosa in Costa Rica, who was a postdoc at that time with the Stroud. And he has a lot of energy. He's a really good mentor. And so he's the one that really got me excited about thinking about stream ecology, like not just insects, not just macroinvertebrates, but the whole ecosystem. And that was a really lucky, I guess, meeting for me. And then I guess the last person that played a very important role was Kathy Pringle. She had a project, or she still has a project in Costa Rica at La Selva Biological Station. That's what I'm still working on. And Kathy initially hired me as a technician at La Selva. So I worked at La Selva for a year and a half, something like that. And then I became a grad student at the University of Georgia and did my PhD with her.
Okay.
So those are basically the main mentors that I had, and the main opportunities, I guess, that I had as I was developing my career.
So then you were Latin American studying in the U.S. What were some of the challenges that you came across and as a student, but also in your career? Can you share with us some of those challenges that you've had to overcome?
Yeah, I think I went through what everybody goes through when they study biology in Latin America and look for opportunities to have a career in biology. So I started as an undergrad at the university thinking about, you know, what do I do with a degree in biology? Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, how do I explain my family that yeah. I'm going to have a career in biology?
Yes.
It didn't make any sense to anybody. And some, I mean, they were very supportive, but it wasn't a clear career, a clear career path for anybody. So that was the first challenge, just basically being able to make sense of that field as a career. Then, when I moved to the University of Georgia to do my grad studies, I had to face all the, I guess all the situations that we all face when we move from Latin America to the US. You know, it's a different system. You have to learn the, how the system works. It's a different culture, completely different environment. So you have to learn how to survive grad school and also how to survive a different
the winters
as well. Although Georgia was fairly mild, so that was lucky for me. And then in as a professor, I guess it was easier because I already learned the system and I had the challenges that, or I was facing the same challenges as everybody else, like, you know, how to keep my lab active and funded, how to publish, how to get grants and get a productive lab going. So yeah, I guess that's basically the main challenges. And I think what I learned is that networking is very important, that you really have to work hard on having your contacts and to know people and let people know that you're there working on stream ecosystems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you've worked with Latin American students for many years, all your career. And I would like to know if you have any suggestions that you could make to young people interested in having a career in freshwater ecology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. I've been lucky because my lab has always been, I guess, mostly Latin American. I was working in Puerto Rico, so that was very easy. Yeah. Now that I'm at North Carolina, it's slightly different, but I always had a lot of Latin American students. And I think the main recommendation perhaps is to not be shy, to contact people, to write emails to researchers, to professors, to people that you see in publications, to start developing your network of contacts, and also to start looking for opportunities. not to kind of like focus too narrow in one particular field, but to try to have a diversity of emphasis and to basically sit down in front of the computer and send emails to people saying like, hey, here I am, I'm interested in this, and mm-hmm. I'm really excited about what you're doing. And that's the only way that you can get opportunities and it will help developing a career. And then, of course, English. Science, for better or worse, is run in English. And no matter where you get your degree, whether you're studying in Latin America or whether you're studying in some other place, you need to have a good handle at English and be able to publish and communicate in English. So work hard on that.
Yes, I agree. Thank you. And as president of SFS, how do you see your role of SFS president during these very critical social times?
Well, it's been difficult, I should say. I guess initially, the plan that we had was to push an agenda to move SFS to become more international and also to make the society more diverse. And that was the reason, or part of the reasons, that I contacted Checo Colón for the position of vice president, because Checo has a long trajectory working with minorities and moving the topic of diversity within the society, mm-hmm. with INSTARS and with other programs like that. So we were going to tackle like those two lines, trying to make SFS more international and also try to increase diversity within the society. And then we faced this crisis, I guess, with all the issues of racism and also with the COVID-19 making everything more complicated. So it's been difficult, but I think SFS has a really good team. Like there are a lot of members that are, you know, that really love the society and that they are very dedicated. So we're moving forward, and I think SFS is becoming more international, and it's also becoming more diverse. And this is something that started several years ago, way before I got involved with the presidency. But that is something that we're pushing to maintain and to try to get SFS in the best position possible.
Yeah, and so thank you. One other challenge that was mentioned when you became president was to make SFS more interdisciplinary, and I was wondering if you can tell me more about what are those challenges and what is SFS planning to do to work more with other disciplines.
Yeah, it is a major challenge because it's difficult to maintain the focus of the society in different areas and also to make the society relevant to people in different fields. So it is a little bit of a challenge to get it done. What we're hoping to do is to have interdisciplinary activities during the annual meeting. So basically, we're hoping to get special sessions and also to maybe even within the regular sessions to have people participating that are working on a variety of fields so they can start sharing their information and they can start sort of building their own niche within the society. It's a slow process, but I think we have members that are interested in and are already doing those collaborations. And this coming meeting in 2021 is going to have a lot of those topics, I guess. It's going to be a diverse meeting, I hope. And we'll be sharing more information soon about the annual meeting. So it's going to be I guess a little more interdisciplinary.
Yeah, that sounds great. It will be interesting to see how that develops. And so I was also wondering, at some point you mentioned that there were some disciplines that were becoming less popular in the society. And I think that's just normal because there's fashionable topics to study that can be for many reasons, like having more technology to study ecosystem processes, or just to give an example. And I was wondering what your thoughts were on the on what disciplines you thought needed to be, if not rescued, but more pushed so that we don't lose them and they still become, or they still are part of the society's central interest.
Yeah, that's another big challenge. It's, there are fields like taxonomy, I guess, is one of the best examples that it's very important, but it's not as popular now that used to be, but we still need a taxonomy for everything. And so it is complicated to have a space for all those disciplines, but we need them, so we should make an effort. And since the annual meeting is the main activity for the society, I think that's where a lot of this happens. For example, SFS has the taxonomic certification, that it's an activity that happens associated with every meeting. So that's a way to maintain taxonomy as a relevant topic within the society. Mm-hmm. But also special sessions are important for that. And I'm hoping to start moving other projects, for example, trying to have or talking to our journal editor so we can have special sections within the journal for fields like taxonomy that need a little more of a push to remain relevant and not to get lost from our society, mm-hmm. and to be able to maintain all those fields within the society.
Okay, thank you. That sounds like a really good idea. So SFS wants to become diverse and interdisciplinary, and at the same time have interest for disciplines that maybe need a little bit of push. And so really it's about SFS becoming, or still being more, what is it? Yeah, more diverse, I guess, in all sorts of fields. And mm-hmm. so in your opinion, what is the risk that SFS runs if it doesn't represent diverse social groups? What's at risk?
Mm. That's a great question. I think it's the same risk as science as a field. You know, like if we do not have a diverse society, we run a high risk of becoming a silo, you know, just focus on something, some narrow area, without really being a good reflection of society. And our society is very diverse. The problems that we're facing, in particular freshwater related problems, are very diverse. And they impact our society in many different ways. So the best way to have or to maintain SFS as a relevant society is to have members that reflect that reality. So if we maintain a diverse membership, if we have people that are representing different points of view, different groups, you know, we'll have a diversity of opinions, and then our society will be truly reflecting what's happening with freshwater sciences in general. Otherwise, we could run the risk of just becoming focused on a specific area and perhaps being more like a club rather than a relevant society. Mm-hmm. And I think we have a really good society. The numbers perhaps are not reflecting high diversity, but we're moving in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's gonna be reflected in the membership soon, and we'll have a diverse group of opinions within our society, which is very valuable.
Yes. So in along these lines, how would you like to see SFS in 10 years?
Well, I guess it would be great to see a society that is truly international, that is global in terms of its geographic representation, and also that is global in terms of its membership. So not geographically, but in terms of the diversity of potential members. So it would be great to have a society that is representing all the different continents and all the different countries, and also a society that is representing the diversity of people that are basically living in those countries, so that we are truly a society that is reflecting what's happening in the world. And it's a really challenging thing to do. Right now we are very focused on North America, but we're moving towards getting a more international representation. And I think the COVID-19 crisis has many negative things, but also opened the door to online tools, to the virtual world. And now we can reach more people than ever before. And I think it's the perfect opportunity to try to move in the right direction. So if we go back to in-person meetings, or when we go back to in-person meetings, because I hope we do, if we maintain the virtual component, we're going to have a really positive impact. People from all over the globe will be able to connect to our meetings and share their science and learn about freshwater sciences. And then people from all groups and backgrounds will be able to join. We'll be removing a lot of barriers for that to happen. So basically it'll be great to have a society that is representative of many different countries and also many different groups of people.
That's great. And I think that with a strong team of people who are really looking forward to that, I think that that's something that will happen, and it's exciting. Yeah, for all of us to be part of it. So Alonso, thank you very, very much for your presence here in the podcast today. It's really wonderful to be doing this. If anybody is curious to listen to this same podcast in Spanish, they can do so, because as I said, it will be in both languages. And yeah, hopefully this podcast was informative for people who are not Latin America. How are a career path for a Latin American person can look like, and also I hope this is useful for students that are looking into becoming freshwater scientists. And well, yeah, I think that's all. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks a lot for the invitation. It's an honor to be part of the first podcast, and let's hope for many more.
Listening to the Making Waves podcast.
For more info, please
visit us online
at the Society for Freshwater Science webpage.
Tune in next time for another fresh idea in freshwater science.